Isaiah 52. There's 15 verses in 52 and 12 verses in 53, and I'd like to read them all if you'd be gracious to me this morning. And the kind of set the scene as far as, and then give you the message. It shouldn't, when we get there, of course, it kept growing and growing and growing. I preached this thought one other time, but it was nothing like it's going to come out today, I guarantee it. Introduction and things. Isaiah 52, verse number 1. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee this uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, saith unto Zion, thy God, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again to Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. For he shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear ward. I know I've always pronounced that wrong, but I always pronounce it reward, but it's rear ward, and I'll explain what that is in a little bit. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which hath not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. Amen. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many? For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Amen. And he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you, dear God, for your love and your mercy and your graces, Lord. Thank you for those that are here this morning, the Sunday school hour, the devotion beforehand. I thank you and praise you for that and the words that we've already heard. And I pray and ask that the Holy Spirit of God will move among every heart, Lord, the saint and the sinner alike, Lord. I ask and pray that the saints of God will, as we were admonished to do in the devotion time, to take the Word of God and to apply it to our lives each and every day, and to find from the Word of God how that we can better walk and better serve you. I pray, Lord, for those that are lost without Christ this morning, I pray that they will see Jesus high and lifted up, and Lord, realize that they can be free because of his sacrifice. I ask and pray that you would just move in a mighty way. Give me grace and help, Lord, boldness as I stand and preach. And I ask and pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen and amen. All right, so without getting to the first message here, I laid my messages in chapter 23, but as I was looking at it and reading and studying, it was pointed out that chapter 53 following chapter 52 here, again going to and putting it into context. The context of Scripture is he's dealing with Isaiah is a prophet of Israel, and he's dealing with Israel and Israel in their captivity. And here in chapter 52, he is telling them that even within their captivity to shake themselves from the dust and arise and sit down. Verse number 2, O Jerusalem, thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus the Lord said, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. And that really pointed out to me, and we can make application to it, because the sinners are sold without naught. We were sold into sin by Adam there in the Garden of Eden. And so when we were all born, we're born captive. We're born in captivity, and captivity to sin. But it goes on to say there in that verse that we shall be bought without money. We shall be redeemed without money. And of course, our redemption is and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, a prophetic, a messianic prophecy here in the book of Isaiah. Again, he's showing the children of Israel, he's pointing them to the future coming of the Messiah. And that's what this is all about. Although many of, as a nation, Israel has rejected Jesus as being their Messiah. However, there are those that that have come to Christ as they realize, and I thank the Lord for that, that they've come to Christ as their Savior. And then it talks about to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek. It was to the Jew first. The gospel message was to the Jew first. It would go into the synagogues, which is where the Jewish people would worship. However, with Peter, and I know Brother Glenn will get to there Eventually here in the book of Acts, and we deal with Peter going to the Gentiles. We see Paul going into the Gentiles. But then the Gentiles actually received it. And he tells that here in the book of Isaiah chapter 52 as well. Therefore, of course, in verse number 6, he's talking about his people. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. You know, and that word, the two words I am popped off the page there, because when Moses asked the Lord there at the burning bush, who shall I say sent me? He said, I am that I am. Tell him I am sent me. And then here's Isaiah rehearsing that name of God in verse number six there. They shall know in that day that I am he that does speak, talking about the Lord God Jehovah, that he's the one that's speaking, and they shall know in that day. It really, as I was reading down through here, it kind of intrigued me, I guess is a good word, that many of the verses here in chapter 52 corresponds with other verses in the New Testament here, and verse number 7 being one of them. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto God thy God, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. And we know that here. In Romans chapter 10, verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, here's where it's written. In Isaiah, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And this will all come into play when I get my text. But remember there in Romans chapter 10, remember here in Isaiah 52, those taking the good tidings of good things and the good message that was preached about our Messiah and what he did for us. Of course, thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. Now he's talking about the redemption. Of course, the Messiah came for his people, but his people rejected him. But there in verse number 10, the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And there's where the one commentator that pointed out that going into chapter 53 had dealt with the fact, and Isaiah dealt with the fact here in 52, that the Gentiles would believe. And we see that there, that the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. So and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. And we've seen that. We know through time, and we know that Jesus was rejected of his own people, and that he opened it up to the Gentiles. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. But all the nations have had the opportunity with the gospel being carried forth. Again, those that had published the peace, good tidings, that published peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that published it abroad. And again, keep that in mind. But he opened it to all, that we could see the salvation of our God. And then 13, 14, and 15 is dealing expressly with the servant, our Lord Jesus Christ. You said, servant, I thought he was our Savior. He is. But in Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant that was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Amen. And Isaiah here at the end of 52 refers to him as that servant. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man. Brother Shock dealt with that last Sunday morning. Amen. Sister Pam is preparing a lesson for camp that deals a whole lot with that. In the plaiting of the thorns, forcing it down on the head. And the head injuries bleed. Sister Debbie over here. Anybody that's had any dealings with nursing or first aid and so on and so forth, a head injury will bleed more, I mean, just profusely. Might not all be that bad, but it bleeds a lot. My daughter fell off of a bridge in the Great Smoky Mountain National Park. Busted her head open. I think it took 10 staples or something like that. But there was a lot of blood involved. But that, more than just the crown of thorns upon his head, and as Brother Shock so vividly brought out last week and rehearsed before our understanding and before our eyes and before our attention, he was beaten. Not only he was laid, stripes was laid on him with the scourge, he was scourged, but then he was beaten on top of being scourged, after he was scourged. And then, after the thorns, the scourging, the beatings, he was crucified. So marred, more than any man. Amen. For that which had not been told him shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. So marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men, so shall he sprinkle many nations. I'm sorry, I misread that. So shall he sprinkle many nations. His blood was shed for many nations. His blood was shed for all men. And we know that after the fact. We know that on this side of his crucifixion. But again, keeping into perspective where Isaiah was coming from and the prophecy and that he was trying to declare before the children of Israel, who had known captivity several times in their history. And then he deals with, all the way through the chapter, next chapter, he deals with, again, the all that Christ took upon himself for us. But he asks three questions here in chapter 53, and I want to look at them in reverse order. I'm going to give them to you in order, and then we're going to look at them in reverse order. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And then in verse number 8, and who shall declare his generation? Three questions. And this is the title, by the way, for and Jesse's sake. Three questions from Isaiah 53. Three questions. Let's consider those questions as they were given by the prophet Isaiah. We're going to go in verse number 8 in reverse order here. Who shall declare his generation? This is speaking primarily to those that, you know, those of the church. Brother, it was amazing. I stand in awe each time that I come and to hear God put on him randomly, providentially, things, and then where God has got Brother Glenn in the Sunday school hour, and then the message he lays upon us. We don't rehearse this. We don't get a hold of each other through the week. Where are you going to be Sunday, brother? We don't do that. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing because this morning, Brother Glenn in his Sunday school hour spoke of the church being scattered. And what did they do when they were scattered? They carried forth the gospel. They were scattered, and when they were scattered, they went forth preaching the gospel, and it took it into the world as they knew it at the time. And churches were established and so on and so forth, but they carried forth the gospel in the scattering. So, and we know that message falls upon the church, also known, you know, as the Great Commission. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So the Great Commission he gives to us as a church to go into all the world and preach the gospel. How can we go into all the world? Well, today's technology makes it a little bit easier, but before that, the church would send missionaries, and we support missionaries that's gone into places like Peru, places like Papua New Guinea, places like England. And we support them and have a part of their ministry, and we keep them on the field by our financial support, in part by our financial support. We keep them on the field that they can take this good news to the foreign land. The good news to the two evangelists we want to put it with Brother Williamson, the three evangelists. So in Kentucky and in Pennsylvania, as they move around, and Brother Moyes out of Tennessee, as they move around and preach the gospel, we have a part of that. And that's the church's commission to go ye out into all the world. And then when Brother Glenn and Brother Chris went downtown, handed out tracts and declared and preached, who shall declare? Amen. It falls on us all to declare. You know, a gospel tract at the grocery store, a gospel tract at the restaurant, a gospel tract at the hairdresser, a gospel tract at the barber, a gospel tract to your neighbors, just going to the neighborhood like Chris and Roman did, I'm sorry, yeah, Roman did a week or so ago, and Chris is talking to one of the neighbors up the road here. Who shall declare it? It falls upon us all to do as a church. And may we as a church be a little bit more bolder and a little bit more what's the word I'm looking for? A little bit more zealous. There is a good word. Zealous to do in these days. Who shall declare his generation? Going back to Romans chapter 10. And really, it's interesting how this all flows too. In the passage that I just read a little while ago, I was in a missions meeting, and it's pretty good. And I know it kind of has a tendency to be could be more toward those that, you know, screen door evangelism. And, you know, I won't go into all that. However, we have let those easy believism bunch keep us from doing some of this stuff like we're supposed to be. But I thought this was a pretty good thought. It can be used in the street. It can be used here in the church house. But, and if you'll read, if you'll turn to Romans chapter 10 and you'll look at it with me again, I'll slow down just a little bit. But he actually had this person underlined. He gave, or he had it underlined in his Bible, and I've highlighted it in my Bibles, my New Testament here, and my big Bible that I'm using today. Verse number 13, whosoever shall call. And I've underlined or highlighted that. Upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the word saved I've underlined, highlighted. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe? The word believe I've underlined. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear? Hear, the word hear, highlighted there, underlined. Without a preacher. And how shall they preach? I've underlined, or it was pointed out that they've highlighted, underlined the word preach. Except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, and to bring glad tidings of good things. And this this fellow, this evangelist, I guess he was, and he said he was dealing with this one woman, and he went through all that and had them underline all those words there. And he said, and he went in reverse order here. So the last word that we said is the word sent. And he looked to her and he said, God sent me. And then the one before that was preached, to preach you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might hear, and that after hearing, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, God sent me to preach to you that you might hear so that you can believe. And by believing, be saved. And to be saved, you need to call upon the Lord. And I thought that was pretty good. That's why I underlined it in my Bible. And that's exactly where we're at today here in the book of Isaiah. He asked the question, who shall declare his generation? Are we being faithful, church, to declare his generation? I had an opportunity when I was getting Cecilia's Bible to talk to that one woman that I spoke of who was really mixed up. She was raised Baptist, married to a Catholic, and both of them going to a Pentecostal church with her sister. But I was able to speak to her because, you know, she's like, well, it, you know, one of those. Well, it doesn't really matter where you go, just as long as you're going somewhere. It does matter. You need to go where you're going to hear the gospel declared unto you. That good news, that verse number 7 of 52, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace, that he was talking about this morning when he got saved, how the burden of sin was lifted off of him. And I can testify of the same thing as I knelt down in the intermediate Sunday school room of the Meadowbrook Baptist Church in 1981. The burden of sin that was upon me being lifted off of me and that burning in my heart and being pricked in my heart of my sin, no longer there. The peace that passeth all understanding. And this is the gospel of peace. We're simply declaring unto you, hey, you are burdened with your sin. You're convicted of your sin. When the law is declared unto you, and the Holy Spirit is bearing witness with your spirit that's saying, yes, you are a sinner. Yes, the preacher's right. Yes, the Sunday school teacher's right. Your sin will send you to hell if you don't get right with me. If you don't believe in the only begotten Son of the Holy of God. And what he done for you on the cross as declared here in Isaiah 52 and 53. When you confess, like it says there, going in, when you hear and you believe to be saved, you call upon him. You confess before him your sin. Amen. And you put your faith in him. You believe. And then that goes back up earlier in this passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 10, which I'm getting ahead of myself, but that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And we are simply declaring, church, who shall declare his generation? Are we doing all that we can as a church to declare his generation before men? Amen. We pray. We're praying for sinners, and we should. We talk to the same ones we've been praying for, and we should. But how much more, how many more people are out there? And we've let this politically correct generation keep our tongues tied. And I bite my tongue so often at work because of the governance that's been put on me because I work where I work. I still am in my probation, but at the same time, taking that fear of offending It's not that we are wanting to offend you, like Brother Glenn said this morning. It's not that we're trying to put you down. We do know that the gospel is offensive to the sin, to our. It was offensive to me when I was a sinner. Because God, hang on a minute. When he's talking about reprove, rebuke, and exhort, that reproval is simply a light. If I blind you, I'm sorry. But you go into the medical examiner's office, and they have that big light, or you're the dentist, and they got that big light over there, and it's focused, it's got a mirror, and it's got a big, big bright light. That allows you, you know, in the surgery, all the surgical room is dark except for that one light right over your carcass. And it's a very intense light. And that's what it is, that intense light that says, oh, there it is. And it's that reproof when the preacher gets up and declares the law unto you, it is simply bringing reproof to your sin. It is simply pointing the light in your sin. And we that live in darkness, according to John chapter 1, don't want that. That light is offensive. One of the things that I did when we moved into Sarah's house, she had all these lights that just you flip on and they get lighter quicker. When I want light, I want light. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, when we went into the bathroom, she had the vanity light and about, I don't know, there might be six there and about three of them was burning. And then there was a dim light in the one up at the top. It was one of those that got brighter. I said, we're going to have to fix this. So I went out, got me some light bulbs, made all six of them dudes work, got me one of those real bright lights for the top. So now when you go into the bathroom, it's bad in the middle of the night. That's why we have a little blue night light in the middle of the night. We don't turn on. But you get up in the morning, and you know that you're going to have to do it, and you go over there, and you go, because if you don't, I mean, it just brightens your day for sure. But coming when you've been in darkness, your eyes are adjusted to the darkness that you can move throughout the house with very little light maybe coming in the windows from street lights or whatever. And you go into my bathroom now and you turn on that light, bam! I mean, it hits you like a ton of bricks. And it brings pain for a few seconds to your eyeballs because the light reproves. The light has affected the darkness that you've been living in. And that's what the gospel does. That's what preaching the law does. It says, boom. I'm pointing to sin. This is a sin in your life. You are a sinner. This is wrong. 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 Not that I'm more right than you are. Because I was wrong. 14-year-old, wrong, 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 wrong. I had to see my sin. Amen. And I'm thankful for the faithful men of God that stood and declared the word of God. Amen. That pointed out my sin. I'm thankful on this side of salvation. I wasn't so thankful then. Nope. I run from it then. Amen. We're going to revival services. I don't really want to go, Nana. We're going to revival services. Because I knew what the revival services held. They held that preacher with the spotlight. And he seemed that he was going to preach on my bench every single time. Even though there might have been a half a dozen other sinners in there, the Holy Spirit said, it's you.
That's right. Amen.
And then finally when I got to the place and said, yes, it's me. It's me, oh God. Standing in the need of prayer, standing in the need of salvation. When I finally agreed with God that I was wrong.
Amen.
There's where a lot of people can't get. Is agreeing with God. That's that confession. And that's that repentance. I agree, Lord, that you are right. I am a sinner. I agree, Lord, that you are right. Jesus is the only one that can save me. Confession. For with that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's what it's not in any special words, particular words. Sometimes it's just stepping out, and the act of stepping out saying, I know that I need to go forward. And the transaction takes place because in your heart, you've believed. Right. I've heard testimonies that I met Jesus in the aisle. They might have come on up and prayed, but the transaction took place when they made that move. Yeah. And who shall declare? So are we declaring, church? Lord, help us. Now let's look at that second question. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Throughout the New Testament, a lot of people don't like this, but it's true. Hang on a second. The Lord spoke in parables, and the Lord explained to his disciples the reason he spoke in parables many times was so that people wouldn't see. And was so that people wouldn't hear. I don't understand it. All. But there were so many services that I sat in that others got saved. The Lord wasn't dealing with me. And there was times, probably when I was in services, that the Lord was dealing with me, that there was other sinners there, but the Lord wasn't dealing with them. It's a whosoever will salvation that we preach. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, whosoever will. It's a worldwide whosoever will salvation. But it's not a whensoever will. God's got to be dealing with you. Who hath, or to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? God has got to reveal to you as an individual the truths in the Word of God. Sometimes people hear, they come to church, they've been raised in church. I was raised in church. And I knew with my head Jesus was born of a virgin. Because we heard that every Christmas. We had little plays where we'd string a curtain across the front and put on our bathrobes and towels around our head and act it out. So I knew that Jesus was born of a virgin, exalted by the angels, seen by the shepherds, declared by the wise men. I knew all that from my youth up. I knew that he died on the cross, was raised again the third day. We celebrate that at Easter. I knew that in my head. But this arm of the Lord being revealed, we just read about that arm up there in verse number 10 of 52. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm. You know, he's the strength. Many times in the Bible is declared by the arms, but it's also declared by the thighs. Jesse talking about doing some leg press or some squats or whatever. But you know, you teenage boys, look at this, Dad. And they'll do the flexing. Look, you know, they get the muscles start to come on them. They start transitioning into a young man. They start flexing their muscles. The joke that me and Jesse was having actually coming out of here, because he had a heavy bag given to him. He'd been looking for one. And a man that I work with had one cluttering up his garage, and he said, I'll give it to him. So we've got one. We've got to hang it, though. I'm telling on you, Jesse. So we was talking about a place to hang. I seen some hooks back here. I said, we need something like this. We need an eye hook. We may be hanging out there on the back covering, the back porch, little patio area. And he says, well, it's got a hold. You know, I said, well, I think it'll hold. I said, if we do it right, drill a hole, pilot hole, but to get a good long. I said, I think it'll hold that. He goes, it's a 70-pound bag. I said, I know. He goes, plus, he goes, all that heavy hitting is going to be. I said, you got to be able to hit heavy first. So he said, I see how it is, Dad. And that's what we was talking about coming out of the prayer room. Providentially, now that I see. But the strength, I said, telling him, you got to be able to hit hard first. But, you know, he'll come in there. We all did it. Some of the ladies are hitting on each other today. We show that bicep. He uncovered his arm. He uncovered his holy arm, the Bible tells us. And in that arm is that strength. In that arm is the strength to save us. That arm is the strength of life. But he uncovered it, the Bible tells us. In the eyes of all nations and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. So when he uncovered his holy arm, his holy arm showed the strength of his salvation to all nations. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He doesn't reveal his arm to all the sinners all the time that happens to be in the church. But there are times that he has revealed his. That's the times that you have the spotlight on your sin. He says, you stand in need of salvation. Then he goes, look, I am powerful to save. He doesn't reveal it all the time. But when he does, that's when you need to move. Because if, as Brother Glenn pointed out, when you say, if I can just get through, if I can just hang on through invitation, if I can just get out through the invitation, if they'd hurry up and sing those verses, and I can leave, go down to the restaurant, I'll be good to go. And then you almost dread coming in the next time because you know it's going to be the same message. The same spotlight on my sin. Holy Spirit of God's dealing with you. And you do it one more time. You get out of the service one more time. But each time you get out of the service, through conviction, through God dealing with you, then a little bit more of your heart gets hardened. Amen. To the point where God says, I'm not going to reveal my strength to you anymore. I'm not going to reveal salvation anymore. I'm not even going to shine the spotlight of your sin on your sin anymore.
Amen.
The Bible talks about that in Romans chapter 1.
Sure does.
Turning them over to a reprobate mind where their conscience is seared. They don't have a shame for their sin anymore.
Yep.
They're bold to just stand and declare their sin before a world, and he deals with that there in Romans chapter 1. And the final question, who hath believed our report? We've read it there in Romans chapter 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus shalt believe in thine heart. There's that word believe. That God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man, here it is, believeth unto righteousness.
Right.
And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We know the verse, for God so loved the world. I've done quoted it, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, what, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I hear lately in the last several years, don't just stop there, because of what 17 and 18 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You're already condemned. God, Adam condemned you. You're born of Adam. You're born as a man in the likeness of God, with body, soul, and spirit, but you're born lost. So you're condemned already. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth on him is condemned already. He believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And Isaiah asks, who hath believed our report? Amen. As we, going back to Romans 10, when we went that reverse order, as Brother Glenn in his Sunday school hour, as we have declared unto you the gospel. The good news, the good tidings, verse number 7 of 52, how beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of them that bring good tidings, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Good tidings, that's the gospel. We are bringing you good tidings that you don't have to die in your sin and go to hell.
Amen.
That Jesus Christ paid the price, as was described in our reading in chapter 53 and the last part of 52. He was marred, as Brother Shock dealt with it last week, and what he went through for you on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
And he did it for you, and we're declaring it unto you. And then, if the Lord is revealing His arm today to you, if your heart feels like it's being pierced with a knife,
amen,
don't try to get out of, if I can just get out of service, if Brother Bell would just shut up and let us have the song of invitation so I can go eat. Don't, if the arm of the Lord has been revealed to you today, showing your heart, yourself, that spotlight of your sin, don't look around, it's not anybody else. There might be other sinners besides you today that need to be saved. But God might be not revealing His arm to them. But if He's revealing His arm to you, then will you believe?
Amen.
Who hath believed our report? Do you believe what we have declared unto you? Do you believe the gospel? Do you believe that Jesus Christ paid the penalty, paid the cost, paid the fine, if you will, for your sin? The wages of sin is death. He died so that you don't have to.
Amen.
You go to court. The judge says, you're guilty. The jury says, you're guilty. And the judge says, this is your fine, or this is your punishment. This is your sentence. Man sinned and plunged all of mankind into sin. And we all stand guilty before God, and we all stand under the penalty of death. But Jesus Christ came and He died that whosoever believeth in Him, and His substitutionary death on the cross for you, it's a free gift. He says, take it. But so many people won't believe that. He said, it's too hard. Surely there's got to be something I can do, some work that I can work for my salvation. No, it's all of Him. That's the part that we got to get over. It's all of Him. He paid it all. Jesus paid it all. You just have to believe it and receive it. John chapter 1, I'll just... verse number 6. No, this goes 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was rejected of the Israel, so he opened it up to everybody. Praise the Lord. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Believing and receiving. Will you believe our report today? Is the arm of the Lord revealed unto you today? Is he drawing you today? Is he saying what the preacher has said, what the Sunday school teacher has said is right, and you need to be saved today? If he is, then as we stand and come with the song of invitation,